Welcome to the world of Mark's Money Mind, coming to you once again from Longmont, Colorado. I am back from a long European trip with my daughter, my mother, and some of my five friends. I'm your host, Mark Troutman. This educational personal finance show combines money lessons, timely topics, personal stories, and community wisdom to help listeners and viewers master their finances to enjoy a stress-free life of financial freedom. I would like to dedicate this episode to my niece Emily, who recently passed away last month at the young age of 32. Let me tell you a little bit about her. She really wasn't part of the financial independence community per se, but she lived her life as if she were. I want to go back in time a little bit, and I think I might have talked about this in previous episodes when my nieces and nephews were born, or at least the younger ones were. I started this a little after some of the older ones were born. I decided instead of buying large Christmas and birthday gifts, I would still give them something small. My wife and I would do that. But we would also make an investment into a custodial brokerage account in a large cap mutual fund. And so for every birthday and holiday, we would give them $50 into their individual accounts. Once they turned the age of majority, which was 21 for most of them, we would transfer that account over to them. And there was no strings attached. They could do anything they wanted with it. And a number of them used them to do things like either pay off student debt, or I know one individual used it to go on a trip where he was able to do some beneficiary work in South America. And another used it for, I think, a deposit or down payment on a multifamily property. And Emily, when it came to be her turn to receive the money, she asked me what I thought the best thing would be for her to do with this money. And it was a few thousand dollars. It wasn't a small amount of money. And I said, you know, my idea of this whole concept was to show you all the value of compounding and how a very small amount of money over many years could compound to something fairly significant. And as I said, I don't remember the exact number, but it was definitely, you know, say in the neighborhood of $3,000 to $5,000, I want to say. The ones that were in there longer, it might have been more. And some of the ones that were older that I didn't start right away, it might have been a little bit less. But I think in her case, it was, I want to say $3,000 to $5,000. And she said, that's interesting. $100 investment each year for 18 years turns out to be quite a bit more than the $1,800 or the $2,100 that you would think it would be. And yeah, I want to say it was probably like $5,000, so more than doubled. Anyway, she asked, well, what did I think the best thing to do with that money would be? And I said, you know, I think you should continue to invest it for the long term. And in fact, because this was in a custodial brokerage account, once you start working, consider funding your own Roth IRA with any earnings that you have or some of the earnings that you have, and potentially even use some of the funds in this custodial account to fund it in those early years where you might have had a part-time job and were still going to school, for example. And she said, you know what? I think that's a good idea. I think I'll do that. And then when it came time for her younger sister to navigate the same question, Emily said to her younger sister, you know, you should do this. This is what I'm doing. I think it's a great idea. And so her younger sister did the same thing when it was her turn. One of the things I remember also, and this was a number of years down the road, and I kind of forgot about all this. And, you know, I had that one conversation and she called me one day out of the blue and said, hey, Uncle Mark, I just want to let you know that I now have $50,000 in my Roth IRA just because of what we talked about. So she had been putting money from the custodial account, or basically transferred the money from the custodial account over time into the Roth IRA and also funding it on her own. And she was very proud of that fact. And I was certainly very proud of her for doing that. So that one little kind of exercise led to her becoming a long-term investor in Saver. The other thing that I think is unique about Emily is that she really walked to her own beat, I guess you would say. She would do things like finding bargains all the time or free items. I know that many times she would drive down the street and see something on the side of the road that was free that could be repurposed. She would pick it up even if it didn't fit in her car. She might go home and figure out a way to go back and get it. I know on occasion, I think there were a couple of times where she might have called her mom to say, hey, can you help me get this item off the side of the road because it's too big for my car? And she would bring them home, clean them up, and fix them. And in some cases, I believe she would even resell it. So it was kind of a little side hustle, which is very financially independence-minded. Many people in the FI community have side hustles and do things like that. So like I said, she was really walking the financial independence life without really being kind of embedded in the community. And I recall going to her house in the last few years and seeing a whole bunch of items in the house that she was like, oh, I picked that up, you know, on the side of the road, or I picked it up super cheap at a yard sale and I brought it home and I refinished it. And now it's our, you know, whatever piece of furniture in the house or decoration in the house or fire pit in the back. And I just thought this was so interesting in that she was able to do a lot of things for a very low cost, yet it brought her great pleasure in bringing it kind of back to life and using it. And then the other thing that she did that was very kind of financial independence minded was, you know, we talk about the cost of college and how expensive it can be. And without anyone's prodding, she did her own homework and realized that if she went to community college for a couple of years and lived at home and then transferred to a four-year school, that would save her a significant amount on tuition and room and board. And she did that. Again, another very FI-minded thing. So I thought that was kind of neat when I heard that, because I hadn't really thought a lot about that. I went to a four-year college. My parents fortunately paid for it for me, and I'm very appreciative of that. But she was able to get a great degree and a certificate from a great school at a very low cost and basically came out of school debt-free, as I recall. So that was quite an interesting thing that she did as well. She also did what many people in the FI community will do and buy used instead of new. I remember her getting a used, I think it was a Toyota RAV4, which again is very FI appropriate because a lot of people will buy Toyotas or Hondas. Many people have allegiance to one or the other, but they're both very good vehicles that last a long time, and her Toyota RAV4 lasts a long time for her. And then she also decided to live at home after graduation so she could save up for a down payment for a potential home purchase. I know that's not always easy for graduates to go and live at home with their parents, and they have a great relationship, so it wasn't probably as much of a challenge as it might be for some others. But that was certainly a wise financial thing to do, for sure. And I remember this one conversation we had. My wife and I had bought a piece of property in Crawford, Colorado. It's kind of a very remote area of Colorado. We had bought raw land. We had built a pole barn on it. We had turned part of it into an apartment. We had a bunch of motorcycles and side-by-sides, and all of which were bought used and got really good deals on them. And we were at the, I'll just call it the mini ranch. It's a ranchette or whatever you want to call it. And I'll just call it Crawford from now on. We were in Crawford having a great time, and we went on a motorcycle ride. And I remember her and her partner at the time, later husband, having a really good time on the dirt bikes that we had. And we were out overlooking kind of the backside of the Black Canyon, or the area near the Black Canyon where there's a whole bunch of open space. And I remember her asking me specifically, she's like, Uncle Mark, how did you do all this? You don't work anymore. At that time, I was retired. And you have this second place. You have, you know, these fun toys. You obviously have another house. How did you do this? And I said, you know what? It really just boils down to make some, save and invest, live on the rest. We always saved 20 to 30% of our income. And over time with compounding, as she had already been aware of with her Roth IRA, eventually you will have enough money, if you put your mind to it, to not have to work anymore, or at least work can be optional. And you will have the ability to do things like this. I remember looking at her and seeing in her eyes that this light bulb just kind of went on. She kind of got it at that point. So what I find with a lot of younger people is it's not so much what you say to them, although the conversations we had were certainly, I think, beneficial in her kind of financial independence journey, but it's also what you do and how you act. And I think she was learning from that as well. And one of the other things that she did was when her parents offered a little bit of money for, it was kind of a choice. You could have some money for a house down payment or a wedding. And I recall her mom telling me that when that choice came up for Emily, she decided to use the money for a down payment on a house. Now, later on, she did have a lovely wedding, but she did it the way she wanted to. They went to Moab, and they had a beautiful, small, private wedding and did it the way she wanted to. She was not one for a lot of attention, so she still had a beautiful wedding, but used the money for a down payment on a house. And when it comes time to purchase this house, I recall this very vividly. She and her partner, later husband, found a house on a lake. And they had been looking for a house on a lake where they could have a boat and do some water skiing, and had been looking for a long, long time. And of course, it being within their price range, which, you know, houses on lakes can often be very expensive. And they had found this house. And it, you know, there weren't a lot to choose from. It was pretty much the only house that met all of their criteria. And this was during COVID. And I remember she called me and she said, you know, I found this house, and we went through the checklist of, did it satisfy everything they were looking for? Did that have the right number of rooms? Was the price right? Was the location right? Was the lake the type of lake they were looking for? And she said, yeah, it has everything, but everyone's telling me not to buy it now because it's COVID and housing prices are going to collapse, in everyone's opinion that she was talking to. And I said, you know, Emily, you walk your own path. You've done your homework. This isn't a house necessarily that you're going to find a year from now or 2 years from now. The price is right. Interest rates were incredibly low at the time. And I said, you've done everything right about analyzing this purchase. Ignore the naysayers and move forward. And they did. They ended up buying that house. And in hindsight, it was a fantastic time to buy a house, a fantastic time to finance it at a super low interest rate. And again, walking to her own beat, as opposed to doing what everyone else might suggest you do, proved beneficial. And I think that was another big lesson we can all learn, is that if you've done your own homework and you feel that you've done everything that needs to be done to make that appropriate decision, you should follow through on that. Don't worry about what other people are saying. And this goes with, you know, the stock market. It goes with pretty much everything in life as far as I'm concerned. And then the fact that she died at such a young age, and many people might say all of that saving and investing was for naught. And I would argue that she lived her life exactly as she wanted to, without any regrets. And I know this for a fact because I've talked to her mother recently, and You know, she was up to the last minute, she was living her best life. And an example of that is one of the last things she did was go on a trip to Hungary with her now husband, his brother, her parents. And even though her illness made it difficult to travel to that extent, they went anyway. And her husband is of Hungarian descent, and she wanted to see it together with him and her. They also went to a Formula One race while they were there, which is near and dear to my heart. In fact, I got a message from her mom saying, "We're in Hungary to Formula One race." And I was like, did her account just get hacked? Because what is she doing in Hungary at a Formula One race? And I texted Emily's sister and said, did your mom's account get hacked? Because I got this message saying that she's in Hungary at a Formula One race. And her sister said, no, that's where they are. Emily and her husband and parents wanted to go, and they went. And they had a great time. Her husband is an engineer and a car enthusiast, so I'm absolutely sure he loved Formula One race. But that was such a great thing that they were able to do, and that was one of the last things that she did. I think a lesson that we can learn from the way she lived her life is that striving for financial independence is a worthy goal, but living your best life while on that path is also very important. No one knows when their time might be up. So I really feel that this, I don't want to say newer approach, but this alternative approach to the financial independence retire early, where in the early years it was save, 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 and delay gratification, and 5 years, 10 years down the road, you'll get to this point where you can do anything you want. There's kind of a newer approach to the financial independence community, and that is this kind of slow fire, coast fire approach, which is you don't need to be running towards the finish line at your mock speed to get there as quick as possible, but you can still get to a point of financial independence or a financial security and have fun along the way. And I think that's what she did her whole life. And I think in hindsight, having had a short lifespan, we can see that this was a better approach than had she, let's say, tried to rush towards this financial independence finish line. And one thing that I know, since my wife passed away prematurely a few years ago, I have been focusing on having shared experiences with family and friends for this very reason. In fact, my daughter and I were on a trip to Europe with my mother and some five friends when we learned of Emily's passing. And it was a stark reminder of the importance of creating these memory dividends while we have the ability to do so. While this was very sad news, I was very pleased that my daughter was there with me for both of our benefit. And we talked about this a little bit and said, you know, doing these trips together is so important. And it kind of comes back to that book, Die with Zero, where you create these memory dividends during various points in your life instead of waiting till some much later date to do things when you maybe have more resources. And try to do those things during your seasons of life instead of all at the end, for example. Emily, thank you for showing us how to live such a fulfilling life in the short time you were with us. That's all for this week. Thank you. Thank you for listening to this week's show. Please click follow on your favorite podcast player or subscribe on YouTube to ensure you don't miss any future episodes. Also, please leave a rating and review for the show. This helps improve the ranking and enables other like-minded people to find the content in their podcast players. I would also appreciate it if you would recommend the show to friends and family that might benefit from this content. See you next time on the Mark's Money Mind Show. Until then, make some, save and invest, live on the rest. Now for the all-important disclaimer. This show is for education and entertainment purposes only and should not be considered investment, tax, or legal advice. Please consult the appropriate advisor or advisors before implementing anything you hear on this show or any other show for that matter. While I fully intend for everything on this show to be true and accurate at the time of each recording, occasionally errors may occur. So please do your own due diligence on anything discussed.